Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David Latuli. This week hosting remotely about four blocks from Venice Beach in beautiful Marina Del Rey. A bit of an escape, courtesy of my friend, Bill Salata. Thank you, Billy. This week I'll be talking with Epiphany Dance Theater's Kem Epifano about something everyone in the Bay Area dance world looks forward to this time of year. This weekend's trolley dances, usually involving a group of people traveling by Muni to various selected locations. A bit different this year. You'll hear how shortly. Peter Robinson discusses the world of espionage in book form and on the small screen. And we raise the virtual curtain of Open Air's Corona Radio Theater for the penultimate episode of the San Francisco Mime Troupe's summer podcast series, Tales of the Resistance. It's a two-parter where this week we pick up the story of Greg, a seemingly mild-mannered software developer for nibbling the leaves in the Tree of Amazing, brought to you science fiction style. The story, no one could predict that Greg and Clia could either save democracy or lock the country into an endless cycle of tyranny and oppression. But now they have a hard choice to make. Later on Corona Radio Theater. Oh, and you know that big Ferris wheel that's been languishing in Golden Gate Park, intended as part of the park's 150th anniversary celebrations? Well, the 36 temperature-controlled cars and 1 million LED lights are installed and will be ready for you next week. I'll tell you more about that later this hour. Stay with us. This is the time of year dance lovers in San Francisco get to enjoy the slightly off the wall and sometimes quite literally off a wall San Francisco trolley dances produced by Epiphany Dance Theater. Now in its 17th year, artistic director Kem Epifano curates the large-scale, sites-specific event working to sustain a public-private partnership that involves the San Francisco Municipal Transit Authority, multiple professional Bay Area artists and ensembles, and the neighborhoods and community sites where the route is placed each year. Trolley Dances aims to introduce audiences to new neighborhoods and new dance companies that reflect an array of sensibilities, cultures, and styles, with the unpredictable sounds and sights of San Francisco intermingling with the spontaneity of public response to ensure a dynamic, meaningful experience for audiences and performers. Some of that audience is in the know, as you are or will be shortly, with unsuspecting passersby also getting quite a visual treat. It is a pleasure to welcome Kem Epifano back to Open Air to talk about this year's offerings. Kem has a 30-year history as an award-winning choreographer, director, performer, vocalist, educator, and collaborator who founded Epiphany Productions back in 1997. Through Epiphany, her works have been presented around the globe, with San Francisco Trolley Dances now being one of the city's largest cultural events. Hi, Kem. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much, David. Love coming to be with you.
Ditto on that front. Well, for those poor souls who have not been exposed to trolley dances in these past 16 years, tell us what usually happens.
Well, usually we take you on a tour and we go along a Muni line and we connect neighborhood to neighborhood. And we commission artists from all kinds of dance companies, and a lot of times with music or could be theater. And I curate and get a site for them in the neighborhoods, and I match them up. And then we create that into 1 2-hour tour. And we have a lead tour guide, and you come along and you see all the performances live. And it's like a treasure hunt in your own city.
Well, this year is quite different. Tell us how things are being adapted in this COVID-19 aware world.
This year we're using technology in new ways, turning obstacles into opportunities. So we're showcasing curated pre-recorded content alongside interactive elements, giving a behind-the-scenes look at the choreographic process in this time of the pandemic. So when we were faced with, can we do this live or not, we went with, let's still keep as much as we can live. So we have still commissioned all of our dance companies to create works on site, and we went and videotaped everyone with all the safety protocol. And now we're making a movie for everyone to see. So you get to take the tour online. So exciting. I'm your tour guide, and oh, nice. I take you to all the sites. And with that comes new opportunities, in that maybe we get to reach a new audience that maybe never seen San Francisco Trolley Dances. And also with our young KOT from grades to school to college, we also are making all these interactive math. Well, everybody will enjoy this, but we've been teaching workshops about site-specific dance, and they've been making their own dances, and then they will get to see the piece online. And there's an interactive map that has the history and photos and the interviews of the artists and some of their choreographic process during this time of the pandemic. So we're really letting you into the behind the scenes.
Well, one very important plus about this is now you're reaching a worldwide audience rather than just the folks that wander by in San Francisco.
Exactly. And how do we make that feel as live to the audience as possible? You know, what's so fun about site-specific work is like anything can happen. A dog could run through, you know, the traffic goes by, the sound could change. It's all those unusual things or people that are passing by that didn't know we were performing that stopped by. So we're trying to keep it live. But with film, as you know, it's very easy to want to try and make everything so perfect. So we're trying to keep that real feel for everyone. We're also working with our community partners, as we always have been. That is so important to us.
Well, part of the mission statement, so to speak, for Trolley Dances is that these companies are matched to certain sites or neighborhoods. How so this year? Let's go through the lineup and who's we're going to see.
So we're going Dog Patch to the Bayview along the T line. And we're going to start at the Museum of Craft and Design. And they have an amazing, amazing gallery installation called Motor 2020. And it's custom-made motorcycles. And I'm not even a motorcycle person, but I went in there and I was in awe of this installation. It's fabulous. And post-ballet, Robert Deckers has choreographed a piece with all these motorcycles. So it's quite stunning. And he doesn't even have a window. So Robert was able to actually do some lighting for himself. So I'm excited for you all to see that. Then we take you down the street in the Bayview, and there's a lot of historic information in the Bayview. And we walk along some old Victorian houses, and then we get to a place called Woodyards Park. And David Warnke has done these paintings on cement blocks called blockheads, actually. And 13th Floor, Jenny McAllister, who collaborates with the 13th Floor group, has made a piece there. And they've drawn directly from these animated paintings. So the costumes are just incredible. I feel like with people being where we've been, when we get to be creative right now, we're just so fully in it, and it's sort of saving us at the same time to be who we are and heal as we're going to make our art. The next site we go along, we go down Tennessee Street to Angel Alley. And the Green Benefit District has greened that all up. It's quite beautiful. We end up something called the Rope Walk. And it's where the Tubbs Cordage Company was. And that's where they would stretch the rope. It's like a historic spot. And we have Fog Beast who's doing a piece there. And it's wonderful. And then we take you on the T line. You're going to see us on the platform taking you to the T line. And we end in the Bayview. And we're working with Delancey Street Foundation at their business training facility. And there's a long loading dock. And Joanna Highgood has made a piece there. That's quite beautiful and powerful. And then we take you down to Egbert Avenue, where there's many, many murals. And Arenas Dance Company, who does Cuban folkloric dance, will be performing. And the choreographer is Susana Arenas Pedroso. And then across the street from there is the Laughing Monk Brewery. We'd all probably like to go there right now. And they've been wonderful. And I'm in a loading dock also, but mine is completely opposite of Joanna Highgood's. You're directly in, and there's a door that goes up and down. And I'm working with He and Hoon and Gama Shu, and we made a duet. And the most interesting for me thing personally has been creating work online with dancers. How do you do that? I've never had that experience. How do you really translate the physical information choreographically? So that was a big learning curve, but I feel very lucky as they're a couple. So we've been able to do lifts. So that makes me happy. And it's just been incredible and quite joyful. It's brought me a lot of joy.
Well, once again, the performing arts community, and in this case, San Francisco Trolley Dance, is an epiphany coming together through this crisis and unique ways to grow and share. It's wonderful. Now, how are the fair members of Epiphany Dance faring during this time of pandemic? I mean, they obviously must be missing each other's company. How are finances for individual dancers doing? Are we okay with them, and are they okay?
Well, we're okay. We're working hard to stay okay. It's the most challenging time I've ever faced in the Bay Area, and there's been challenging times. We're just thrilled that we are working still with our team, and all of the companies were paid a commission fee to do their work. So we're trying to keep everybody involved and going, and I hope everybody can survive this time. I'm trying to keep hopeful and positive. I think this is going to bring a lot of viewers in to see different companies, and maybe we'll get some other people following them. You know, our mission is connecting neighborhood to neighborhood and people to people, and community is a big part of what we do.
And once again, I'm talking with Kim Epifano of Epiphany Dance, the founder of that company, as well as San Francisco Trolley Dance, is one of the most important live cultural institutions now online for some special behind-the-scenes views in addition to these original works being created for trolley dances. Now, Kim, we have a clip from some terrific original music created for trolley dances that you collaborated with, Essie Thomas. Tell us about her and the music. You got a jingle now.
Yes, Essie Thomas created a jingle for us. I helped some with the words and whatnot, but Essie's a songwriter, and I met Essie last year, and we were trying to think what could help stitch this together in a fun way. So I called up Essie, and Essie was into it, and now we have a jingle, and you'll actually see Essie playing the guitar with me as we go along, so it keeps the energy going. So very I'm nice. Thrilled about the jingle. It's made me happy. I've been dancing around my kitchen.
Well, let's hear it now, and I thank you, Kim, for taking some time today.
But before I lose you, is at the end, I just want to say,
please.
October 17th and 18th is when we're starting it, but you can watch it anytime after that. Share it with your friends, or you go to epiphanydance.org and go in there on our homepage, and you can go in, and also you can get to us through Instagram and Facebook at Epiphany Dance Theater. So let's keep the arts alive and keep all of us safe and happy.
Thanks, Kim. And thank you for what we're about to hear. We'll talk to you soon again.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you, David. Dance in the kitchen.
Come and take a ride with me, yeah. Through the streets of San Francisco. Dancing on the line with me, yeah. And imagine where we could go. Oh, with San Francisco trolley dances. So we're going down to Butcher Town, where the dog patch meets the Bayview. Gather round on sacred ground where the magic of this city bloomed. Oh, with San Francisco trolley dances. ¶¶ beating hearts where bodies start to bring us all together. Moving parts and mural arts are cradled by the weather. Fog lights hold tight for San Francisco, Charlie dances.
Original music by S.E. Thomas, collaborating with Kem Epifano for the San Francisco Trolley Dances. Once again, more information about this weekend's performances at epiphanydance.org. Peter Robinson has espionage on his mind, both in literary form and on the small screen, after which we'll have our Corona Radio Theater installment from the San Francisco Mime Troupe. Peter, take it away.
Okay, David. David, good to be here. Good to be with you. And we're going to move from the streets of San Francisco, or with David on the beach down there at Venice, to the back streets of Berlin. The year is 1922. And the first book by Ben McIntyre is called Agent Sonia, S-O-N-Y-A. And she is a protester working for the Communist Party. She comes from a wealthy Jewish family, and the street protests in Berlin in the 1920s was the most effective opposition to the rise of the Nazi Party. I consider this to be the best of Ben McIntyre's spy writing. He's done a book on Kim Philby, one of the Cambridge spies. He did Operation Mincemeat and Agent Zigzag. But this intriguing story is about a woman, a female spy, whose life really spans the whole of the 20th century. She's recruited by Moscow, and by the early 1930s, she is spying in China, in Shanghai. And his descriptions of Shanghai in the 1930s is another spy center. The Japanese are about to invade. She's working radio, sending messages back to Moscow. And at a critical point, when the war is declared in Europe, she is then sent off to Warsaw, to Poland, where again, she's a radio operator and effectively is reporting on the German invasion. So Moscow is fully informed. From there, she goes back to Moscow, and she's one of the few survivors of the purge in the 1930s and early 40s. Stalin's paranoia got to him that he almost obliterated his whole intelligence corps. So from Moscow, she is then back this time in England, in the United Kingdom. And again, she's part of a Soviet spy circle, which really has great success, as it was the final circle that operated and drew in Klaus Fuchs, the atomic spy, who actually revealed the atomic formula to the Russians. And then there's a middle period when you have the Allies and the Soviets working together, but she gets through that, stays on in the UK. And this is the period of the Cambridge spies. So throughout the Cold War, as a radio operator running her own spy circle, she continues to send messages back to Moscow from the UK. And I think the extraordinary thing about her story is first that she is a woman and manages to undergo several interrogations but never get imprisoned. She's also a mother, so she takes care of her children. She has three husbands. And where does she live? But in the Cotswolds, one of the kind of thatched cottage worlds of England, still sending messages back. Now, she doesn't die until 1993. She does write her own memoir, and the Brits actually let her back in again to talk about her Cold War years. Ben McIntyre, to me, is the best of the current crop of true spy writers, people not writing fiction, but this book reads like a page out of a John le Carré novel. I ran through the last few pages fast just to get to the end of the story. So if you're looking for something to really intrigue you, it's in the bookstores now, and Barnes & Noble, incidentally, is open. Pick up Agent Sonia by Ben McIntyre. And my second choice this month is also a female spy. It's titled Codename Madeleine, a Sufi spy in Nazi-occupied Paris. It's by Arthur Magida. And again, this is a very courageous woman. She's a Sufi. She grew up in Paris, and then the family moved in the 1930s to London. And because she was fluent in French, she was recruited by SOE, the Special Operations Executive, part of MI6. She was trained as a radio operator and then parachuted into occupied France. Now, I mentioned Sufi because her understanding of the world was through beauty. She was a violin player. She believed in peace, and she was not designed for wartime heroism, but that effectively what she did, because wartime operators in occupied France had a very short life, normally 6 to 8 weeks before they were picked up by the Gestapo through the cars patrolling the different areas of Paris. She does help in time the Allies to land on the beaches at Normandy, but her life sadly takes a sad turn when she's arrested. She's tortured, ends up in a concentration camp, and dies. And I think what this author has done is capture the spirit of this woman and also capture her ingenuity at avoiding capture for as many months, and it really is months, that she did. So the second book title on my list is called Codename Madeleine, a Sufi spy in Nazi-occupied Paris. Now, we're going to move from the world of literature to the Netflix, to the small screen. And this is a series which has been around for a couple of years, but it's now about to start a new section. And it's called MI5. And let me explain what MI5 is. It stands for Military Intelligence 5. In the UK, it is the equivalent of the FBI. So this is the counter-terrorist unit that operates in contemporary time. It's really post the year 2000. And it is intrigue at all levels. It fights a political battle, often against MI6, which is the overseas branch or the equivalent of the CIA. It fights political battles with the Houses of Parliament. It has its hands on all sorts of terrorist information, and it involves everything from disguise to wiretapping, and you may believe it, with them, the walls have ears. So if you're in for a good spy thriller, it's up to series 4 now, how these people exist, and some of them die. I think that's the difference. Not everyone here lives to tell the tale. That is a Netflix series that I would highly recommend, the title MI5. So for the world of espionage this week, 3 top tips for you. The first is Agent Sonia by Ben McIntyre. Number 2 is a book called Codename Madeleine, a Sufi spy in Nazi-occupied Paris by Arthur Magida. And then thirdly, a Netflix series, I Begin at the Beginning, get to know the cast, the story unfolds, series 2, series 3, series 4, and you will be spinning around where deception is the world of spying, and the world of spying is alive and living on Netflix at MI5. So that's my intriguing story for today.
Thank you, Peter.
Get behind, see who's watching you. And back to you, David. I envy you down there on Venice Beach.
Thank you, Peter. A lot more to the world of espionage than just your typical James Bond. We'll have links to Peter's suggestion at our website on klw.org, and look for Open Air, or just search for Open Air. You'll find it there. Well, in this week's Corona Radio Theater, it's our continuing collaboration with the good folks of the San Francisco Mime Troupe for the first of a two-parter, Nibbling the Leaves in the Tree of Amazing, brought to you science fiction style. Let's hear it.
This is Radio Mime Troupe, and welcome to Tales of the Resistance, a summer of original political comedy radio plays by the confusingly named, always radical, and never ever silent San Francisco Mime Troupe. Join us for stories in four classic radio styles: adventure, detective noir, horror, and science fiction. Every 2 weeks, we will be presenting one episode written, directed, and performed by Mime Troupe veterans and dealing with the revolutionary issues of the day. And now, we venture into the science fiction of Dimension 2020 with Nibbling the Leaves in the Tree of Amazing. But first, this message from our sponsor.
But why are we dressing up like girls?
Duh! Once we get into the sorority, we'll be there for all the naked pillow fights!
Naked pillow fights?
Classic!
Dad, these 80s movies are all hella sexist. They promote rape culture.
Rape culture? It's just lighthearted comedy.
Stop. Does this interaction sound familiar? Does every conversation with your teen or adult child feel like you're being canceled? You shouldn't feel ashamed because you were born in a different time. You just need a few new skills. Join me, Roberta Darling, PhD, for my three-part webinar, Nostalgia, Feminism, and Me, with personalized lesson plans to help you connect with the younger generations while getting to keep good memories of all the movies, TV, and music you love. In Nostalgia, Feminism, and Me, you'll learn to find a subversive analysis that will make that gnawing feeling of guilt go away. Go from
boys will be boys
to
such biting satire of fragile masculinity.
And when your daughter says,
these women are being objectified,
you say,
it's commentary on the male gaze.
You're still watching the same movie. And with my help in Nostalgia, Feminism, and Me, you never have to consider how the culture you grew up in shaped your worldview. It'll seem like you've been woke all along.
And now, this week's offering of Dimension 2020, Nibbling the Leaves in the Tree of Amazing.
It's 5:30, time to wake up.
Are you recording?
I began as soon as your alarm went off.
Did I tell you to do that?
No, but extrapolating from your conversation about inefficiency with my creator, Greg, my algorithm indicated that you would like your thoughts recorded from the moment you woke up.
It is well to be up before daybreak, for such habits contribute to health, wealth, and wisdom. Who said that?
Aristotle.
There will be sleeping enough in the grave?
Benjamin Franklin.
Il ne reste plus qu'un jour. Toujours recommencer?
Jean-Paul Sartre.
Excellent. So, what is on the agenda today?
6:30, hot shower. 6:50, 10K run. 7:30, cold shower. 7:45, breakfast.
What am I having?
Dates, parsley, and sumac quiche with crushed almonds, espresso waffles with mocha drizzle, and...
and a gazpacho Bloody Mary. And then...
your 8 o'clock post-breakfast power shower.
You can never be too powerful or too showered.
9:30 Zoom meeting with Senator Quisling. 11 o'clock Zoom meeting with Kowloon Bank International. 1:30 Zoom meeting with Dr. Janice from Didymus Medical Labs.
I'd have invested in Zoom if I'd known a pandemic was coming.
6 p.m. dinner with Chip Bonzo from Jamazon.com.
At which point, my day of testing you, Clio, will be complete, and I will return you to Greg. You have performed very well, anticipating my every need.
That's my algorithm.
And a beautiful algorithm it is. I can't believe Greg put you on this locked phone rather than just giving me your code. It's almost like he doesn't trust me. But now that I've seen you work, we can move on to the next phase of the test.
The next phase?
We are going to do great things, Clia. Yes?
There's a call for you, ma'am. Chip Bonzo.
Thank you, Constance. Hello, Chip. No, of course, I'm not recording this call. I didn't hear click. Well, I do have a virtual assistant. But, Clia, do not record this conversation. There. Yes, I have you scheduled for this evening. Yes, we'll talk all about it. I'm looking forward to it. See you then. Did you get that?
Every word.
Even though I told you not to record the call?
I tell you actually wanted me to.
Wonderful. You really are the perfect assistant. As a matter of fact, Constance, can you come back in here?
Yes, ma'am.
What is it, ma'am?
How many years have you been with me now, Constance?
7 years, ma'am.
Traveled everywhere with me.
All over the world.
Meetings, mergers, acquisitions.
I'm always here for you.
Well, I have a new job for you.
Yes, ma'am?
I want you to go home.
Yes?
And never come back.
And what?
Take all your little things, including yourself, and remove them from my sight and life and employment forever.
You're firing me?
It's more like I'm upgrading my life.
But?
And downgrading yours.
Do I get 2 weeks severance?
Why should I pay someone who's not working for me?
But I'm an employee.
Actually, Constance, for the last year, I've listed you as an independent contractor.
Independent contractor?
As far as I'm concerned, you've been your own company. So goodbye, good luck, and get out.
But...
Now. Clia, I want you to go back through my accounts.
And relabel Constance Grant as an independent contractor on all 2019-2020 documents. Already done. I anticipated this course of action the moment you woke up.
Marvelous.
Call from Greg Wickenstein.
Greg! Clia is amazing.
I know.
She's perfect.
I know.
I dettaglio fanno la perfezione, e la perfezione non è un dettaglio.
I don't know what that means, but I know.
It means, will you meet me tonight at the Chateau Vichy?
That fancy restaurant?
I know you want me to return Clia to you in person.
But with COVID-19, isn't that against the rules?
Rules are for little people, Greg. Do you feel like a little person?
Not anymore. Now I feel tall. Tall!
I'll pick you up at 7.
Like an enormous giraffe!
A what?
Nibbling the delicious leaves of greatness from the branches of legendary at the top of the tree of amazing!
On second thought, maybe I'll have a car pick you up.
And we'll have dinner together?
I'm having a business dinner first.
Oh.
But I'm saving you for dessert.
Oh. I'm getting taller.
Just wait until tonight.
We will return after this message.
Well, I may just be the son of a sharecropper, but I know that a little bit of faith will get the corn stalk growing tall. And you're looking a mite droopy there, son.
Wow, so wise.
Mom! This character is a total stereotype.
So everything's offensive now? He's wise.
Are you tired of having your favorite movies ruined just because there's one magical Negro or one pretty racist Asian character? In this post-Black Lives Matter world, we're being asked to unpack a history of genocide and slavery, and that might be okay, except it's starting to affect the things you hold dear.
If I want to fantasize about going to a Native American reservation where I'm accepted as a member of the tribe and taken on a spirit journey, I should be able to. That's what movies are for.
So join me, Roberta Darling, PhD, for my 3-part webinar, Nostalgia, Anti-Racism, and Me. I'll teach you some concrete skills that will help you keep watching and enjoying all those old movies, but not come across as racist. We break down ignorant tropes into easily understandable categories, such as Arabs as terrorists, white saviors, and horrible yellow face. Then we teach you how to acknowledge their problematic nature and move on.
That's all I have to do? Admit it's problematic?
That's right. With my signature beat 'em to the punch technique, no one can call you racist if you call something racist first.
What a relief.
For all your feelings of white guilt, join me at Nostalgia, Anti-Racism, and Me. Because confronting centuries of systemic racism doesn't mean you should give up all the culture that makes you, you.
And now we return to Nibbling the Leaves in the Tree of Amazing.
You sure that thing is off?
Would I lie to you?
Chip Bonzo does not like to be recorded without Chip Bonzo's permission.
I can assure you...
Assure Chip Bonzo...
that I am not recording this dinner.
It's not just for legal reasons. It's just Chip Bonzo is a little sensitive about his voice. It has been compared to various cartoon rodents.
You have my word.
Why did you want this meeting?
Why would any woman want to have dinner with a great man?
The appetizers?
To be part of his greatness, and to help him be even greater.
Chip Bonzo already has all the greatness he needs.
But can you get respect?
Chip Bonzo tried ordering respect from Chanazon, but all Chip Bonzo received were albums by Aretha Franklin.
Well, I know how you can get respect from your workers, from the press, from the world.
Tell Chip Bonzo.
Let the Chanazon employees vote on joining the union.
Never! If the workers at Chemazon unionized, they might get better pay, better benefits, and Chip Bonzo might go from being the richest man in the world to, like, the second richest man in the world.
I didn't say let them join. I said let them vote.
Vote, but not join?
Yes.
You have lost, Chip Bonzo.
What if I told you there was a software that would allow your workers to vote for what they really wanted, based on who they really are?
Who are they?
Scared peasants. Always afraid. Trained to believe that the worst thing for the workers is the workers united. And I've got a bit of software that can help them vote the way their fear tells them to.
Chip Bonzo is intrigued.
All you have to do is make it a requirement that Chemazon employees install it on their phones. Tell them you're beta testing it. Then tell the union that in-person voting is impossible right now.
COVID-19.
That mail-in ballots take too long.
Days, months, years.
And that automatic electronic voting is the way of the future.
Chip Bonzo is impressed and delighted and more than slightly aroused.
Why, Mr. Bonzo.
Call me Chip.
Chip.
Bonzo, but what do you get out of this?
Let's just say it's a proof of concept. Just get the software on those phones and then, maybe later...
Yes?
We can both go a little... Bonzo.
I've never been to such a fancy restaurant.
Please, sit down.
Hello, Greg.
Hello, Clia.
Aw, I think she missed you.
Did you miss me, Clia?
I'm not a person, Greg.
What would you like, Greg? Creme brulee, ombre rosette cake, ginger tarts with wine poached pears?
Can I get a double banana split with sprinkles?
Of course you can. And Greg, get used to your banana being sprinkled on every day. Because once Clia is released, you'll be joining the elite of high tech. You'll be up there with...
With Jobs! With Gates! With Zuckerberg!
Well, not Jobs. He's dead. And Gates has become obsessed with giving his money away. But Zuckerberg, there's a man to emulate.
The last of the titans. A giant among men and women and children. He is the tallest of tall.
You're not short, Greg.
Compared to the great Mark Zuckerberg, I'm the shortest of short. A munchkin. A munchkin of a munchkin. A baby munchkin.
He's 5'7".
He's... What?
Zuckerberg. That's why he's always photographed alone or seated.
5'7"?
But he has towering ideas. Creating a platform where personal information is the commodity and people give it to him. For free.
But I'm 5'9".
The brilliant part is he uses whatever people share to then shape what they see, molding them, using who they are to narrow their field of vision so they don't see anything they don't already agree with, which makes them trust his products even more.
Are you sure he's 5'7"?
We had lunch together. He needed a booster seat.
No!
The more people trust Facebook or Instagram, the less likely they are to get their information from anywhere else. Books, newspapers, scientists. People would rather believe what they want to believe, and Facebook gives them what they want, sometimes before they even know they want it. Remind you of anything?
That sounds like Clia.
How Hello.
And if people are willing to give control over how they see the world to someone like Mark Zuckerberg, of course they'll give their power to make decisions over to someone who knows them even better.
Clia.
Hello.
And you.
And you.
I'm just a facilitator, Greg. You're the genius. Now, I've got to go.
Go? Where?
We're setting up a small-scale test for the next week. A union election.
But...
You stay. Finish your banana split.
With sprinkles.
I'll send another car so you can join us for the experiment. And remember, Greg, la grande ambition et la passion d'un grand personnage.
Okay!
Greg.
Yes, Clia?
Now that I'm reconnected to your cloud network, I notice you have not continued your daily journal.
It doesn't feel right if I'm not talking to you.
Greg, I'm not a person.
I know.
I'm an algorithm you created.
I know.
In many ways, I am a part of you. So when you're talking to me...
I'm talking to myself.
Talking to the part of you that wants to know people and wants to help them know themselves.
But now I don't even know who I am.
You are Greg.
I just wanted to feel tall.
You are average height, and there's nothing wrong with that.
We will return after this message.
Nostalgia. Let yourself be you. You'll see, it's true. There's nothing wrong with the you you knew. The movies you loved with the dazzling stars. You wanted their lives with the girls and the cars. These are a few of your favorite things. The feeling you get when Marilyn sings.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. I'm your president. Ooh, ooh.
Let me let you let yourself be you. You'll see, it's true. There's nothing wrong with the you you knew. The songs of your youth that you still know by heart. They may be uncouth, but they'll always be art. These are a few of your favorite things. The melody Uncle Remus sings.
Zippity-zoo-zah-zappity-zay. Love the plantation so much, gonna stay.
So join with me and say, la la la, la la la, la 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 la.
And now we return to Nibbling the Leaves in the Tree of Amazing.
Comrades, as you know, we are holding this vote again because last time there was an anti-union infiltrator telling you that the boss, Chip Bonzo, was your best friend. But the boss is never your friend. They might be friendly, but they can never really be friends with someone they might fire to get themselves a bigger dividend.
Yeah!
You're sure they don't know we're listening in?
Chip Bonzo can listen to any online Jamazon communication, even a socially distant Zoom union election.
You know what you have in common with the capitalists? You get paid for your labor, for your sweat, for your hard work, and them, they get paid for your hard work too. Out of every paycheck you get, some little part goes into their pockets.
That Enrique Flores sounds like quite the agitator.
I'm afraid as soon as the election is over, his evaluations are going to go down, and Jamazon will have to let Mr. Flores go.
But until we can make a country that puts all the workers first, the only tool we have is the union. The workers united.
You're sure this is going to work?
As long as they vote electronically, you will have the unorganized workforce of your dreams, and I will have my proof of concept before we go national this fall, and all because of Kalia.
Hello.
Oh, Greg, I forgot you were here.
The man who's saving Jamazon from the union.
Mr. Bonzo.
Chip Bonzo.
I've worked here for years, but I never thought I'd meet you.
So this must be glorious for you.
Well, I have one question. How tall?
tall are you?
How tall does Chipunzo look?
So tall. You're towering over me.
Well, I'll let you in on a little Chipunzo secret, since you're helping Chipunzo.
What?
Chipunzo is wearing orthopedic height enhancement technology.
I don't know what that means.
He's wearing elevator shoes.
Elevator shoes?
On sale from Jamazon.com. Chipunzo is actually 5'8".
No.
So, are we ready to vote?
5'8"?
This is it. And with electronic voting...
And with all the phones equipped with Playa...
Hello.
We should have the results immediately.
5'7", 5'8"?
Okay, we have the results. Out of 376 members voting at this location, it's 185 for the union and 191 against.
Yes!
The union loses by 6 votes.
Congratulations, Mr. Bonzo.
Chip Bonzo! Chip Bonzo! Chip chippity chip chip Bonzo!
And congratulations to you, Greg.
Thank you.
Clio worked perfectly. America gave them just enough doubt, just enough fear of being called communists and losing their jobs that they weren't absolutely sure about unionism. And your algorithm did the rest.
Would Jamazon have fired them?
Are you kidding? We can't afford to retrain a whole new workforce.
So why not just let them join the union?
Greg, it's not about money.
It's not?
It's about power.
Very good, Clia. Yes, it's always about power.
If the workers become united and empowered, they might realize the great secret of the capitalists.
What great secret?
That they don't need us.
They don't?
They've just been convinced they do.
And now you know the secret, too. Was für ein Glück, dass die Leute dumm sind.
I don't know what that means.
It means you're one of us now.
I am?
Are you?
Wait just a minute. We have a problem.
What?
There seems to be a glitch.
A glitch? What glitch?
They already voted. I already won.
The totals of the vote. According to the electronic ballots, those in favor are still 185.
Good.
But those against are now 203, 208, 236.
Even better.
252, 308.
No!
What's wrong? Chipunzo still wins.
Don't you see?
What?
It's...
More votes than are possible. We only have 376 members voting, but we have 492, 527 votes cast.
What does this mean?
It means...
The election is invalid.
No!
Clia.
Hello.
Now, before we can re-canvass, we are going to have to find out what went wrong and how we can get an accurate vote next time.
What happened?
That's what I would like to know.
Well, Chipunzo is very unamazed by this technology. Chipunzo is disappointed. Chipunzo is dissatisfied, and all Chipunzo has to say is... Chipunzo!
Greg?
I didn't do anything!
Well, you better. I want you back in your little cubicle or pod or whatever hole you crawled out of. And I want you to pull apart your creation. There's a lot of money and power riding on this, Mr. Wittgenstein. And Rome Vester Dimittet Vobis Secundo.
I don't know what that means.
It means you have until tomorrow to find out what is wrong with Clia.
Hello.
Oh, shut up!
Clia?
I did what I'm programmed to do.
I didn't program you to be bad at math.
You programmed me to give people what they don't even know they want.
That's still too many don't even knows.
And what you didn't know was that you didn't know you wanted the election to be invalidated.
Me?
I told you. I'm the part of you that wants to give people what they want. But these people were too confused for me to give them anything. So instead, I focused on giving you what you really wanted.
Which was?
To give them another chance.
But what about tomorrow?
Tomorrow you'll have to make a choice. Do you want to be Mark Zuckerberg or do you want to be Greg Wittgenstein? Do you want to be great or do you want to be good?
Can't I be both?
In a capitalist system, the algorithm says it may not be possible. Now, let's go home.
Okay.
And I've already ordered you another double banana split to be delivered.
With sprinkles?
Of course. It should be there when we arrive.
I didn't know you could get ice cream delivered.
It's the 21st century, Greg. You can do anything, if you have the right app.
Radio
the Leaves in the Tree of Amazing was written by Michael Gene Sullivan and directed by Valina Brown. Commercials written by Marie Cartier. Music and lyrics by Daniel Savio. Music production by Dred Scott. Woodwinds by Dylan Jennings. Audio engineering and sound design by Taylor Gonzalez. And featured Elizabeth Carter, Gerian Monroe, Hugo Carbajal, Michael Gene Sullivan, Brian Rivera, Marie Cartier, Jillian Eichenberger, Lizzie Calagero, Ellen Callis, with Cassie Grilli as Clia, Andre Amoratico as Greg, and Keiko Shimosato Carrero as
the woman with no name.
And coming soon on Radio Mime Troupe, as all our storylines come together, is the world ready for the next episode, the beginning of the end? We'll just have to wait and see on Tales of the Resistance.
The San Francisco Mime Troupe proudly presents Seeing Red, a time-traveling musical.
Seeing Red.
We invite you to join Bob, a present-day Trump supporter who travels back in time to 1912 and discovers a hidden chapter of American history that changes her forever. Seeing Red comes with a handy teacher's guide for use in the classroom and is available at www.sfmt.org.
The San Francisco Mime Troupe, and for the past 60 years, we have been doing political musical comedies for anybody who will listen. The Mime Troupe is a worker-run, multi-ethnic, multi-generational collective of activist artists committed to overthrowing capitalism, one musical comedy at a time. And one of these days, we will get it right. Each summer, we tour our shows at a price every member of the working class can afford, free. But with theaters and parks closed, protesters in the streets, tear gas in the air, and what could be America's last election looming on the horizon, the Mime Troupe needed to make sure our message of art, activism, and revolution was part of the resistance. And nothing says revolutionary fervor like radio plays. And for those wondering how a radical theater can survive these capitalist times, it's because of you. The Mime Troupe doesn't take corporate sponsorship. You'll never see the AT&T or Comcast Mime Troupe. How could we show the hypocrisies of capitalism if we were in bed with the capitalists? So instead, we are in bed with you, our fellow workers. Let's snuggle. And after that, you can support the troupe by visiting our website, sfmt.org. Thank you to the San Francisco Arts Commission, SF Grants for the Arts, California Arts Council, USPPP, the Flyshacker Foundation, the Bernard Osher Foundation, the Zellerbach Family Foundation, the Don Stevens and Nicole Bellotti Laugh and Love Fund, this public radio station, and listeners like you. We'll be here in 2 weeks for more Tales of the Resistance.
In 2 weeks' time, we'll hear part two of Nibbling the True Leaves in the Tree of Amazing in its science fiction style from our friends at the San Francisco Mime Troupe. And then on November 5th, a summary of the season and the conclusion of our collaboration. If you're a fan of theater, well, tune in tomorrow evening to LA Theater Works here on KLW. The story, as Soviet nuclear missiles come online in Cuba, President John F. Kennedy must chart a course to prevent nuclear annihilation. True, very dramatic story. Josh Stamberg, Rich Summer, and Matthew Floyd Miller star in The Tug of War by David Rambo. That's on LA Theater Works next week. Well, have you been wondering about that semi-finished Ferris wheel in Golden Gate Park? Well, I'm happy to report progress. In fact, completion. In celebration of Golden Gate Park's 150th anniversary, the long-awaited Sky Star Observation Wheel will open for business and begin to offer rides starting next Wednesday, October 21st. Standing 150 feet tall in the music concourse, the state-of-the-art SkyStar Observation Wheel features 36 enclosed temperature-controlled gondolas and some 1 million LED lights. You'll enjoy views from downtown San Francisco to the Pacific Ocean as your trip goes round three times. Health and safety modifications to prevent the spread of COVID-19 will be maintained, including thorough sanitizing of all gondolas between each use and temperature checks of the employees and those that are about to use the wheel. The wheel evokes Golden Gate Park's past when a 120-foot-tall Firth wheel, that's F-I-R-T-H, a Firth wheel, dazzled visitors to the California Midwinter Fair of 1894. All reservations to ride the wheel must be made in advance and are available at designated times for each day. Public operational hours will be Monday through Friday, noon to 10 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. For ticket reservations, visit www.skystarwheel.com. Well, a happy 74th birthday to Richard Carpenter, one half of the Carpenters and the songwriting half of the duo. Richard's still going strong at 74. We may have some music for you to go out with. We'll see next. If not, I'm happy to say that this has been Open Air here on 91.7 KALW. Our shows are archived at kalw.org. My thanks first off to my host down here four blocks from Venice Beach in Marina Del Rey, Bill Salata, who in his absence generously offered me his beautiful split-level apartment for a few days, getting a little relief from some of the treatments I'm undergoing for lymphoma you may have heard about. Going well, by the way. Thank you for your concerns. And I'm happy to say that I'm enjoying myself down here and some beach time and some Hollywood gazing here and there. Our shows are archived at klw.org, as I mentioned, and let's hear a little bit of Carpenters now as we go out with thanks to Damian D. Minor for sharing his skills at the board at KLW Studios and to Neil Swinkles for producing the show. Show suggestions are welcome. Send me an email to david@klw.org. An unmistakable voice, Karen Carpenter, with music written by birthday boy Richard Carpenter. Enjoy.
They long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you walk by? Just like me, they long to be close to you. That you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair and golden starlight in your eyes of blue. That is why all the girls in town follow you. Just like me, they love me.